That might really like there are two steps towards achieving it. The first step is to develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. And this essential Dhamma, the scope is very, very wide. They are all spin-off from the Four Noble Truths, especially the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. Then if you were to go into the Noble Eightfold Path, all the teachings are there. That's why there is the meditation. From right view, the essential Dhamma spin-off. The three important right views in regards to the spiritual law of nature that governs life and existence, they are Kama Niyama, Chitta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. Kama Niyama is basically the law of karma. This spiritual law is very powerful. It explained to us how all of life, they are governed by this moral causation. We call it a moral causation is because karma involves mental intention. So mental intention is chitena, the Buddha said, is chitena that I call karma. So chitena means mental volition, mental intention. The moral aspect comes in when you create mental volition or mental intention. So this chitena is the one that we have to be mindful of, whether it's wholesome or unwholesome when we arise them. Because your mental intention behind the arising of any action, speech or thought process involves volition, which is mental intention. Without wisdom, you cannot arise right thought, right speech and right action. You need wisdom to arise them. So all volition before you awaken or have the right view, you cannot have right volition. So right and wrong is basically a relative convention that the human mind or the mundane mind created. So everyone is different. We have our views, our opinion, our conditioning. So whatever that is not in accordance with our views, opinion, and conditioning or understanding, then we say it's wrong. Whatever that is in accordance, we say it's right or wholesome. Then right and wrong, wholesome and unwholesome volition is dependent on the individual. If it's right according to the individual, then that is not the truth, the reality, because it is not based on nature's law. So right according to the individual, according to you or others, is of no use. It is not the truth. The truth must be based on nature's law that governs life and existence, like the three spiritual laws combined with the two scientific laws of Uttuniyama and Vijñāniyama. These five become the five universal order, or the Buddha called the Pañca-niyamas, that governs all of life and existence. So the scientists, they progress very fast is because they are able to penetrate the first two scientific law, physical law of nature, which is Uttuniyama, and the biological order of nature, which is Vijñāniyama. So as they develop more understanding, they will be able to progress further. Then they will be able to develop more and more new things based on all this understanding. That's how our technical understanding helps us to create all the beautiful scientific products or technical products that are so useful. That's how our civilization evolved. That's how we are able to develop the advancement in science and technology that can lead us to modernize the way we live life and enable us to understand many, many things. The scientists can even probe the universe, create microscope or telescope to see things that are impossible with the natural physical eye that the human being has. So with the assistance of science, we can see things that are very minute, very small, because our microscope has the capacity to magnify many, many times. Then we can also create giant telescope to actually look into space, which is so far away. We are talking about millions and millions and millions of light years. That's why it's billions of light years. And to see that, we need all this instrument. So scientific understanding leads to progress in the scientific field. Likewise, spiritual understanding needs the understanding of the spiritual law to break through into the spiritual field. So when we can understand the three nature's law that governs life and existence, the spiritual aspect of nature's law, then we will develop great wisdom in the spiritual field. Then we can understand many, many things. So these three spiritual law of karma, karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama are very important. From there, all the teaching evolve and start. The first one, which is most powerful, is the moral causation, law of karma. It governs all of our actions, speech, and thought process, every living beings. Yeah. Whenever you arise your mind, your thought process, your mental volition that is involved will actually create you accordingly. That's the reason why that first right view in regards to the law of karma will enable you to understand life and live life appropriately. Without this understanding, you will not be able to understand life and you will become heedless. And the moment you are heedless, you develop karmic negativity. That's how, through self-delusion, ignorance, you cause your own karmic negativity leading to downfall. Then when you don't take care of karma, your life will be affected. Well, according to the Buddha, after his realization, he came to understand this very important law. He said, according to this law of karma, we are all, means not only human beings, including all living beings, born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So if you understand this right view, then you can stop your cultivation. Because karma plays such a great role in our life. The moment we are born into this world, we inherited all our karma. That's why the Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma. Then every moment, every instant, we are conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are every moment and every instant while going through life because of our karma. So looking at life, you can say, our life is 100% governed by karma. So in order to have the good life, we must take care of karma. Because the moment we take care of karma, we take care of life, then we will understand life and we will have the reward, the beautiful good life as our reward. So this very beginning of cultivation needs this right view. So this right view can transform our life, can make us different personality-wise, character-wise, understanding-wise. We will become different. Then when we become different based on this right view, we will have the good life. That is what Dhamma is all about. So that first right view is very critical, very vital. Then because karma is so important, in order for us to take care of karma, the Buddha actually gave us the advice. The advice of all Buddha is the same, is to just take care of karma. How do we take care of karma? The Buddha said, you have to avoid all evil. Whatever evil you produce, the law of karma actually hit back. Because according to the Buddha, this law of karma is the nature's law. You reap what you sow. You plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. That's it. Whereas if you become heedful, you have the right view and you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. Then you will have the good life. Otherwise, you will have all the negativity of karmic friction that will lead to suffering, misery. So all this are very important understanding. And because of that, the Buddha said, you have to avoid all evil. You don't avoid all evil, you don't take care of karma. Then we need to understand what constitutes evil. Then the teaching spell out clearly to us the three evil roots. They are the root of all evil: greed, hatred, and delusion. That's how you start. So based on that, the Buddha said, you must understand what constitutes evil. Then only you can train your mind to be mindful, to be aware, to be sensitive, so that you can develop the ability to avoid evil. Without the mindfulness, awareness, and the sensitivity, you cannot see the evil roots. You can't understand what these evil roots are. And if you cannot see them, how can you abandon them, root them out? So mindfulness is needed, heedfulness is needed. The meditative mind, which is silent, tranquil, and still, we call it the silent mind, is needed. So when you are able to train this mind in meditation so that it is constantly aware, ever mindful, to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, that become heedfulness. And when you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Then after avoiding all evil, the Buddha say, you need to move on to the second step to cultivate wholesomeness, goodness. Because avoiding evil alone is not enough. Cultivating the ennobles of karma or evil is more important. So to cultivate wholesomeness, we need to follow Noble Eightfold Path. From right view, we arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And to do that, we need to apply the four right effort. We need mindfulness, heedfulness to see them. Yeah. So all these are already in the teaching. But tonight, I want to give you the whole picture, the big picture, so that you can understand, so that you can apply the Dhamma in daily life. So Dhamma in daily life is the most important. You cannot apply them to live life, to cultivate, to awaken, then it does not give rise to condition for you to have the good life. So cultivation is very important. Dhamma in daily life is about application of this Dhamma that you have already developed the understanding to help you understand life and live life. And you can also develop the awakening, which is the enlightenment. So the third aspect is purification of mind. If you just avoid evil to good, you can have good life, good karma. But then you are not completely free from suffering. Because a person who has good karma, who is able to avoid all evil to good, will have good parami, good merits. But when it comes to living life, there are certain realities of life and existence that can afflict you despite what you have got, all of the good karma, merits, everything. You may be a very meritorious person, very wholesome, full of merits. But then when it comes to a certain life reality as spoken by the Buddha in the first noble truth, especially the first four, birth, old age, sickness and death, if you don't have the wisdom, you cannot confront them with wisdom. Then when you attach and cling to all this reality, you will suffer. You will become miserable. You will be afflicted. Then the fifth reality is also the same, separation from your loved ones, from your wealth, possession, things that you hold on to dearly. Then when you met people whom you don't like, it can also give rise to unhappiness. Then when things don't go your way, when your expectation in life are not met, when you cannot get what you want, you also suffer. Then the final summary, the Buddha said, in short, if you grasp and cling onto the five aggregates of form and mind, nama rupa, it will lead to suffering. So the final summary is very important. The five aggregates of grasping, upadana khandas, is dukkha. We have to understand all this. We have to apply this teaching, this number, reflect, contemplate. Then we have to listen to the true Dhamma constantly to develop the initial wisdom. Then after that, put them into practice and cultivation, then awaken. Once you awaken, it will root out your wrong view, your Sakkaya Ditti, your self-delusion, your ignorance. So when you have your view straightened, you are no longer deluded. You are no longer misled. Then the phenomenal world of form and consciousness will have no power over you. Then you can live life beautifully. You can come to terms with the realities of the moment, anytime, any place, anywhere. No matter what happened to you or to the world or to your loved one, you are still at peace because you understand the form and mind is dependent, originating, condition, arising, cause of phenomena, not a permanent and changing entity. It's never you. But it's a vehicle and tool for you to come to this existential world, karmically conditional. So every segment of the form and mind that arise, that you come, none of them are you. They are all different segments of your life. So if you have developed the meditative understanding, you will come to know every moment of consciousness, there is a birth and a death. Then you expand it over the continuous segmented mind. Means you create mental volition every moment, every instant throughout your life. And the summation of all this become your karmic nature. So depending on your wisdom, understanding, you will create them accordingly. So before you are enlightened or awakened, chances is most of the time you create negativity of coming. And your life will suffer. You will be afflicted. So the purpose of Dhamma is to give you the understanding so that you can make that choice to transform your life, to change your life for the better, so that you can live life in accordance with the Dhamma way. When it's in accordance with the Dhamma way, means it's follow nature's law. So these three spiritual laws that I talk about, I only focus on the first, Kama Niyama, just now. Then there are two more. Citta Niyama is the dwelling, Paticchasamuppada. The Buddha explained that there is a nature's law that governs how we function as a human, how our mundane mind arise and pass away, how it is always dependent originating condition arising following this dwelling, Paticchasamuppada. When you understand this dwelling, Paticchasamuppada, you will understand how you function as a human, how your mind, the mundane mind, arise and move. So it is only through meditation, silent inner awareness, silently observing, you can develop the understanding and the wisdom. Without the mindfulness, you can't. So mindfulness is essential to understand all this spiritual law. Without mindfulness, you can't. That's the reason why the Buddha emphasized so much on mindfulness, especially heedfulness. Even before his parinibbana, he advised among apamadeda sampadeda, means strive on with heedfulness. Do not be heedless. Then the last spiritual law is Dhamma Niyama, means all the essential Dhamma, all the teaching that he has taught us. All these teachings spin off from the Four Noble Truths and the Three Turning, especially Noble Eightfold Path. So when you understand all this, these are the essential Dhamma that we can develop the understanding and make use of it, apply it into our daily life, so that we can really make it a living reality, so that Dhamma in daily life become a living reality. Then you can become a transformed living being. And when you have this Dhamma, you become beautiful. You will never be heedless anymore. You will be ever mindful, constantly meditative, heedful all the while. Then you will be a blessing to all. You will have a good life.